Some people have a green thumb. I have a black one. Yes, it's true. I am Dr. Death to anything green. Anything that might be living, if it comes under my control, under my care, it won't be for very long. It just doesn't happen. I mean, even artificial flowers wilt if they're left into my care. It's just that bad. So if you've got a plant or a shrub or a cacti that you don't want anymore, let me take care of it for a week, and I guarantee it will be an explant, deceased, gone, because I just have a black thumb. So it made sense last fall when Michelle, my wife, said, you know, I really don't like that vine that's growing in the back corner of the lot. I said, honey, don't worry about it. Let me work my magic. I will take care of this for you. So I cut off the water supply to it. I sprayed it with weed killer, and I chopped it off right at ground level. Yes, sir. When the grim reaper of the gardener comes in, nothing survives. So I thought. So last week, we're sitting out back, and Michelle says, look, it's back. And sure enough, it had sprouted up from the ground and it's starting to climb up the wall. It's the vine that won't die. And of course, being me and having my profession, the first thing I thought was, Jesus. No, I'm serious. I knew I was going to preach on this passage where Jesus said, I am the vine. And think about it, he is the vine that does not die. There were some that thought they could take care of him. They nailed him to a cross. He breathed his last. But 3 days later, he came forth stronger than ever. He's the vine that doesn't die. And this vine, this Jesus, says that you and I are the branches. And we are to bear abundant fruit. It's one of the I am statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. And if you recall, when Moses asked God, what is your name? God said, I am who I am. And so each time that Jesus makes an I am statement, he's making a claim. He's saying that the great I am, the God of all time, is the vine. And we are the branches. Now, the context in which Jesus made this statement is equally important. If you take a look at the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, he's celebrating the Passover. John chapter 18, he's arrested. Consequently, then, he is crucified. So that means the chapters in between is table talk. This is Jesus having a discussion with his disciples centered around the meal. Now, this is going to be his last supper with his disciples. So you know that he thought out carefully, what was he going to say to them? What wisdom was he going to impart upon them? What word of encouragement was he going to give to them? And in this context, Jesus says, I am the true vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, as I also abide in you, and you will bear abundant fruit. What Jesus was saying to his disciples then, and we his disciples today, is that we are to stay connected to the true vine, to stay connected to Jesus, and we will bear much fruit if we do. Well, let's take a look at what Jesus says. First of all, Jesus says, be connected to the true vine. I find it interesting that he puts the qualifier in there. He doesn't just say, I am the vine. He begins by saying, I am the true vine. Well, if Jesus is the true vine, then that would imply that there are false vines. Well, what exactly does that mean, that there are false vines? Well, as I thought about that, well, what does a vine do? Well, the vine to the branches is everything. If the vine isn't healthy, then the branch dies off, right? Because the vine supplies all the nutrients, it supplies all of the water, which should make sense that the branch looks exactly like the vine. So if the branch looks like the vine, and there are true vine, which is Jesus, and there are false vines, shouldn't we ask ourselves then, what do we look like? Do we look more like the world and everyone else? Or do we look like Jesus? You can ask yourself a series of questions to decide, so who is it that I look like? Do I look like everyone else in the world, or do I look like Jesus, the true vine? So ask yourself, where do you get your identity? Where is your purpose in life? Is it your career, the one that you have now, or the one that you retired from? Is that who you are? How do you define success? Do you define success by money, by power, or popularity? So if you hit a certain income bracket, you'd say, I have been successful. Or if you have a certain amount of influence that you can throw your weight around in certain circles, does that mean you're successful? Or is it the people that you hang out with, that you know the right people to hang out with, the people that everyone wants to hang out with? Because the fact is that popular, that's more than just junior high and senior high. Yeah, in adulthood, we get a little bit more sophisticated by it, but there's still the populars and the unpopulars. And so is that how you define success? When you've got a choice, you've got to make a decision. Who do you think of first? Do you think of yourself? Or do you think of others? You see, the branch looks like the vine. So do you look more like the world or more like Jesus? Jesus says that he is the true vine. And if it's true that the vine gives all that is necessary to the branches, that it virtually gives life to the branches, then listen to what Jesus said about that in John 10:10. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He's not talking just eternal life here. He's talking about right here, now, in this world. Jesus says, yes, I'm concerned with your eternity, but I'm concerned with your life now. And he says, I have come into the world so that you can have a full life, that you can have a meaningful life, that you can have a true purpose in your life. Well, if Jesus has come to give us life to the full, what does that look like? What does the branch look like if we're connected to this vine? Well, I think St. Paul gives us a hint at that because he tells us these are the fruits of the Spirit, right? And if Christ's Spirit lives within us, this is the fruit that we should bear forth. So take a look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'll take a heap and dose of any one of those. That sounds like a life that's worth living. To have joy in my life, to be at peace in life, to get rid of some of the stress and some of the worry that I have. How about gentleness and self-control? Wow, I'd love to have a lot more self-control. You see, this is the full life that Jesus promises to us, but we have to be connected to the true vine, because the branch looks like the vine. Well, the second thing that Jesus says to us is this. He says we're connected to a promise. So if we're connected to the true vine, then we're also connected to a promise. You take a look at John 15, verse 4. He says this. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. Now pay attention to the word order there. Remain in me as I also remain in you. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. First of all, that word remain. There's various translations of that. This is the NIV. It's translated remain. Sometimes it's translated dwell. Sometimes it's translated abide. They all seem to say the same thing, but they have nuances. My favorite, frankly, is to dwell. That Jesus says, dwell in me, and I also will dwell in you. Probably the reason that I like the word dwell is because it harkens back to the Old Testament. Harkens back to God and his relationship with his chosen people. And the promise that he made with them was, I will dwell with you. Very, very different from all the other religions that were surrounding the Israelites. Their gods didn't dwell with them. No, for them, they had to seek their gods out. They had to prove themselves to their gods. They had to sacrifice to their gods. They had to try and find their gods. But the one true God says, no, you don't have to try and find me. I'm real close. He says, I will dwell with you and I will be your God. So Jesus says he dwells with us. Now for the disciples gathered around the table, he literally dwells with them because the great I Am, God of eternity, has taken on flesh and blood and he's dwelling with his disciples. But for us, he gives us the promise. The promise that he will dwell in our hearts, that he'll give us his Spirit to dwell in our hearts. In other words, he is always with us. So there's a promise. We stay connected to the vine, but there's a promise connected to it, and that is that Jesus will always dwell with us. I want you to take note, it is not a conditional promise. So in other words, Jesus didn't say, as you dwell with me, then I'll dwell with you. No, it's actually an invitation. Jesus says, dwell with me as I dwell with you. A literal translation, as I continue to dwell with you for all time, because he's not going anywhere. We might go somewhere, but God's not going anywhere. So we're connected to the vine, but with a promise. The promise that he will remain with us, that he will dwell with us. And if he dwells with us, then we can dwell with him. If he's going to remain in us, then we can remain in Jesus. Now, what does it mean to remain in Jesus? What does it mean to dwell or to abide? To me, that is a deeply personal relationship that you have. If you're going to dwell with someone, if you're going to remain with someone, that means that you have an intimate knowledge of them, that you're very close to that person. So if Jesus is close to us and he's dwelling in us, if we're going to remain in Jesus, well, that means we need to have a close personal relationship with him, that we have an intimate knowledge of him. So if we're going to remain in Jesus, then we remain in God's word. I don't know any other way around it. How is it that we're going to know God more? How is it we're going to be closer to God unless we come to his revealed word where he tells us everything that we need to know about him? And the fact is, the more we remain in God's word, the more we know about God. For me, the more I'm amazed at God, at his grace, his mercy, his knowledge, his planning. It's phenomenal to me, but that only happens if you remain in God's word. So if we remain in God's word and we get to know God better, well, we also need to remain in contact. I don't know of any relationship that is close that they're not always in contact with one another. You can't go days, weeks, months without talking to that person, not if you're close to them. So we remain in contact with Jesus. We all know how they do that. It's prayer, right? It's prayer. It's everything from the formal prayers that we have in church to the conversation you have with God as you're driving down the highway to the last breath before you fall asleep at night. Right? Prayer can actually be a continuous thing throughout our day. Now, I know some people have said, well, prayer's a little one-sided for a conversation. I don't think so. In fact, I know so. It's not one-sided. Now, I will give you, I've never heard God audibly answer me in my ear. But I can tell you any number of times that God has directly answered my prayers. And my guess is, you could tell one or more times that God has directly answered your prayers, because you're remaining in contact with him. So it's a connection with a promise that we're connected to Jesus, but the promise is that he will dwell with us. He's never going anywhere. He's always close to us. And now we dwell with him. We remain in his word and we remain in contact with him. Last thing Jesus tells us is this, is that we're connected to bear fruit. There's a reason and a purpose. If you're connected to the vine, then it only makes sense that you as the branch will then bear fruit from that vine. But there's an important distinction here. The distinction is this. It is impossible to bear fruit apart from Jesus. He's very, very clear about that. You cannot bear fruit apart from Jesus if you're not connected to the one true vine. Listen to what he says in John 15:5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Jesus is not saying, listen, as soon as I see some gentleness in your life, as soon as I see some kindness, as soon as I see some forbearance in you and some forgiveness, as soon as I start seeing some fruit of the Spirit in your life, well, then you can go ahead and be a part of me. And then you can go ahead and join on to the vine. No, actually, it's the opposite. We can't do anything good apart from him. We have to be grafted into the vine. Jesus has to come to us. Jesus has to dwell in us. And then we're grafted into the vine, and now, and only now, can we bear fruit. In other words, not only when Jesus comes to us and connects us, then good comes out of our life. Then the fruits of the Spirit flow from our life. So what does it mean then if that we're to bear fruit? Well, bear fruit, Jesus says you're bearing fruit as you become more and more like him. As we show ourselves to be his disciples, then we'll bear fruit of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So how is it that we show ourselves to be his disciples? The more the branch looks like the vine, the more we look like Jesus, the more we show ourselves to be his disciples. And the greatest way that I know that we can show ourselves to be like Jesus is to love as Jesus has loved us. In fact, if you continue on in John chapter 15, that's the next section. He says to his disciples, he says, you will be my disciples if you obey my commands. And my command is this, love one another as I have loved you. If we want to show ourselves to be Jesus' disciples, then we have to love as he has loved us. And Jesus' love for us is an unconditional love. It's a one-way street. It's not that, well, you do this for me and I'll do that for you. Or if you love me, then I'll love you in return. Jesus says, I'll love you no matter what. Jesus says, I'll love you whether you love me back. I'll love you whether you're faithful to me or you're not faithful to me. Scripture says in Romans chapter 6, he says, even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of Christ, he laid down his life for us, took his sin, our sin upon himself so that we could be forgiven. It's an unconditional love. The more we start loving like Jesus loves us, the more we show ourselves to be his disciple. It means we've got to start loving the unlovable, and that's not easy to do. It means that we've got to show kindness and gentleness to the people that are kind of mean and hateful to us. It means that we offer forgiveness to those who have hurt us deeply. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we become a doormat and let people walk all over us. Certainly, Jesus didn't do that. But Jesus certainly showed love to his enemies. He certainly offered forgiveness to those who didn't deserve it and hurt him. He loved unconditionally. The more we love like Jesus, the more we show ourselves to be his disciples, because the branch will look like the vine. And Jesus is the true vine, the vine that can't be killed, the vine that has grafted you into it so that you can be one of the branches. And as he dwells in you and you dwell in him, then you'll be his disciples and you'll bear forth fruit. The branch will be like the vine. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming down and dwelling among us, literally, and living among us and then dying for us, but coming back to life to set us free. You've grafted us into the vine. We pray that as you dwell in us, that we would continue to dwell in you, and that through your Spirit, you would produce in us an abundance of the fruits of the Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.